from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He came to me at an early age and just talked about professional development. And if you really want to be a coordinator, you got to, maybe you don't have to master the defensive line per se, the furthest away from the DBs, but you've got to know enough to know what it looks like. I took that to heart. I spent a lot of time meeting with other people, paying attention to coaches we've had here in the past, everywhere I've been along the way. Different ways to do things, different ways a lot of us learn, I wouldn't do that, I would do that. Things you wouldn't do sometimes are a bigger part of that growth in that development of yourself.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich. We enjoyed our conversation with him yesterday on his birthday. You can find that on demand. Find that in the Odyssey app. Talked to him yesterday about 9:15. Joining us on the Wester Hotline. We're all back home, not at camp today. Back out there tomorrow at St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe with you. And joining us is Matt Bove of WKBW, and it's always game day in Buffalo. Good morning, Mr. Bove.
Morning, guys. How are you today?
We're all right. You know, just getting deep into mustard mayo debates, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. Talking Simone Biles, talking mustard, talking Bills camp, you know, the good stuff.
What are the mustard mayo
thing? The mustard mayo thing is very, it's not even really a one or the other. It's a lot of, apparently, a lot of sub-eaters have never been offered mustard before, and consider the idea of mustard on a sub to be crazy, outlandish, rare. Like we're telling them we're putting shoe leather on a sub. They can't even envision what mustard would go on a sub. It's a very odd experience.
I mean, I'm not anti-mustard, but if I was getting a sub, I would never put mustard on it. I guess that's my take on it. I like honey mustard more than yellow mustard. But I still wouldn't put that on a sub. If I was going to have a sub, I'd put mayo on it.
But you would not be shocked to learn that people do.
No, not at all.
That's the thing.
I mean, it's like one of like three condiments people use consistently.
Right. Well, that's the nature of this thing. So anyway, onto the Bills, Matt. You and Sal just did a recent episode. You were out at on location there in Rochester for the latest episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
Yeah, we went to Barville, and it was cool. It was nice. We had a good turnout, a bunch of Bills fans that were in town. We had somebody who was there from Alaska. We had somebody who was there from Minnesota. We had somebody who was there from Germany. But they were just also visiting, and then they happened to want to go to the show with family. It's not like they came in from Germany for the show. That would be something, though. So we had a good turnout. A lot of people really excited about the Bills. We've tried to do it for the last couple of years, and hey, you know, we're always in Buffalo, but we're only in Rochester for a couple weeks of the year. Let's try and do a live show when we're out in Rochester. So we had a good turnout. And then obviously there were very good wings at Bar Bill, so yeah. It was a good night.
It's kind of nice for us to go out to camp and for Bills fans that make the trip out there to camp, because Rochester becomes Bills Central for a good couple of weeks. And you know, the trip out to Fisher, for any Bills fan that lives here, you might be thinking about the Bills an awful lot. You don't get to see them until this Friday. But the vibes around the team, you know, people are excited. It's different this year, Matt, but it's definitely, you know, Josh Allen and the Josh Allen show. It's Josh Allen and Keon Coleman, and then after that it might be about everybody else.
I feel like the vibes are back a little bit. Maybe that's just because that there isn't like this cloud over the team of all the drama that they've dealt with for the last couple of years. Maybe it's that the expectations have fallen back a little bit nationally, so there isn't so much internal pressure on the team. They still are holding themselves to a very high standard, but they're having as much fun and they're as loose as I've seen them in a long time. It feels more like the Bills of like 3 or 4 years ago than it feels like the Bills of the last couple of years. And a lot of it also stems from the coordinators. I mean, going into this, you guys led with Bobby Babich. Like, Bobby Babich has juice and he has swag, and I have no swag, so I don't know if I can say somebody else does. But I think Bobby Babich has it. And Joe Brady is another youthful, energetic guy. Like, it wasn't that long ago that Sean McDermott had Rick Dennison and Leslie Frazier as his coordinators. Now he's the elder statesman. And those are the coaches that the guys really resonate with. It's the coordinators and it's the position coaches. So if those guys have juice, if those guys bring energy, I think there's going to be a lot of really lighthearted action. And there's going to be a lot of competitive fire. And I think that's what we've seen so far 6 days into camp.
It is a good time of year to feel that way. One thing I wonder is, you know, if this team at any point feels pressure, because while, you know, some Bills fans might like to say we like to be under the radar, and Bills players might like to say that as well, if this team were to get out to a 2-4, 2-3 start, again, like that, I don't expect that. I have a tough time believing that there wouldn't be pressure or there wouldn't be a feeling of what's happening, what's going wrong. You know, when you're the favorite to win the division, when you, as many times we say, if you have Josh Allen, you should be a competitor, that means if things are not going right, people will immediately latch onto what is not going right.
Absolutely, but I think the pressure will be felt most by probably Josh and Sean, which might happen anyway, just because it's the quarterback and it's the head coach of the team. But those are the guys who are the big ones in the organization who have been close and ultimately come up short. There are so many new guys on this team. There are so many young players on this team that they might not know exactly what it takes to get to where the Bills are trying to go. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. There was a lot of wounds on this roster with guys who have been close but not ultimately got there. So I think there's a little bit of a beauty in like how naive some of these guys might be. Keon Coleman doesn't know what it takes to get to a divisional round or to an AFC championship. Probably good enough to help him get there, but I don't know if they'll ride the roller coaster as much as they have in the past, just because there's so many new faces. I think part of that's intentional too. I think that they wanted to do a turnover on the roster to try and get some new guys, because, you know, the same group was really good, but kept falling short. So now they're trying to do it with a bunch of different guys and still number 17.
The build is interesting too, because when we were going over, Matt, the top 100 list, and how it probably looks like Allen and Dawkins will be the only two, and Dawkins was at 96. Yeah. And that thing's not scientific. But there might be a larger point of the Bills are looking for their next crop of stars. They had Poyer, Hyde, Diggs, Vaughn for half a year. You know, they had elite players around the roster, and maybe Milano will get right back to that. But this transition that they've undergone, it does feel like, you know, there could be a waiting period, or maybe it'll start right away, that all those guys now gone, Kincaid and others, like, it feels like they're going to need a couple of guys to develop into star-level players.
Yeah, it's funny. I noticed that actually last night, too, because I wasn't paying attention, and then I went on social media, and I saw they released 30 to 21, and I was looking. I was like, okay, no more Bills. That definitely means that it's only Josh and Deion that are on the list. Poyer made it, and Diggs made it, but they're gone now. Those guys who they need to step up are the ones that have so much buzz around them, but I don't think are quite there yet. Like, if Dalton Kincaid is on that top 100 list next year, I will not be shocked. Terrell Bernard will probably be on that top 100 list next year. And Matt Milano, if he plays a full season, will definitely be on that list. So it's definitely a different group. But you're right. They need to find these new young players who can be the next wave of those guys that are considered the class of the NFL. It is a little sobering, though, because you see that list and you realize that the Bills have two players on it. They're two very important positions, so they matter more than some other guys. But it makes you wonder, is the Bills roster good enough? Is the Bills roster good enough right now to actually win? Is a really, really, really elite quarterback and a great left tackle good enough to get you to a Super Bowl? Maybe they can prove it with a bunch of those young guys we're talking about, but it is pretty eye-opening when you see how many guys they've had on that list in years past.
Matt Bove joining us on the Wesser Hotline. One of the guys that has been on the list in the past, Von Miller. He was a big story yesterday from training camp. First day for him in pads because he had a rest day the previous day. For Von to return would be big. What have you seen out of him, and how much should Bills fans be, I don't want to say buying the hype, it's one day, but it's definitely assuring, right? It's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a good sign. It was a good day. There are reasons why it was a good day, so we should give the entire context of it was third and long day. So almost every situation the Bills were practicing was a situation where Von Miller would be on the field in an actual game. Third and long, hey, Von, go get after the quarterback. So he was probably getting back and creating pressure more than he would just as an entire, like, you know, first down, second down, third down when you pair them all together. But I do think it's a good sign. I think for Von Miller, this is just my opinion, I haven't talked to him about this, that his struggles last year were just as much mental as they were physical, of him not trusting his body to put the pressure on it, to try and get around the corner, to try to dip his shoulder around the tackle. And I think now that we're a year removed from the injury and he's not playing with a brace, just having the brace on in itself, I think, would make you think about the brace and think about the injury. He doesn't have that now. I think that it's unrealistic to be like, okay, Von Miller can be what he was 2 years ago before the injury, where he really took over a couple games. But I think he'll split the difference. And I think if I was going to pick which way I would lean he's closer to, I would think he's closer to the guy we saw 2 years ago than the guy we saw last year who didn't do anything. I'm going into this season thinking that Von Miller could be like a 7 or 8 sack type of player. And I know what he's paid, that would be underwhelming. But I think if you're the Bills, that would be a pleasant surprise considering what last year was.
Von is a part of this too. AJ Epenesa this year, does it feel like he's going to be asked to play a bigger role? I know starters at that position don't even play like a ton more than the depth pieces because they're so rotational, but he's going to probably be asked to play more than in the past, right?
Yeah, because I think Von Miller will play less than we're probably used to, just because I think he will be very much used on passing downs, obvious passing downs. And I think AJ Epenesa and Greg Rousseau and Dwayne Smoot will be the three guys they use in kind of all situations. Epenesa and Greg Rousseau are both good in the run game. So on those downs where you think you might be getting a run against you, those guys I think are solid, but they can also still get after the quarterback. AJ Epenesa's best year was last year, and there's a reason they brought him back. So I think he's going to get a really strong opportunity to not just be a big contributor this year, but also to be the number two edge rusher probably for years to come, because, I mean, unless Von Miller absolutely shocks us all, probably going to be his last year in Buffalo. Epenesa's under contract for a few more, as is Rousseau with the fifth-year option. So that's why it's like, well, okay, well, what about 2 years from now? And I think that'll probably be Rousseau and Epenesa if Epenesa has a good year.
Matt Bove with us on the Wesser Hotline. Matt, so much of training camp around the league, too, not just here, is everything that's going well. A lot of guys, right, best shape of your life season, right? Is there anybody to your eye that is having a tough time at camp or maybe someone that you would want to see more from at Bills camp?
It's not necessarily an individual player, but they are positions. I'm a little concerned at safety, and I'm more concerned at safety because of the injuries than I am because of the people they have there. Mike Edwards, we thought, was going to be one of the guys who started. Then he comes in. He's injured for the spring. Then he comes to training camp, and it's like, okay, well, now it's time to get to work. Now he's got an injured hamstring. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. So that takes him out of the mix, which allows a guy like Cole Bishop to step in. And then Cole Bishop leaves practice yesterday with an injury, and we don't know the extent of that. I did see him after practice, like walking around like everything was fine, but I don't exactly know if that means it was an upper body thing or it was an elbow thing, a shoulder thing, whatever it could be. So then that brings us to Damar Hamlin, and Damar Hamlin has made nice plays, but has he made them consistently enough to be a starter? So a tad concerned at safety just because of the injuries. And then the other thing is center. because there have been a couple bad snaps or exchanges between Connor McGovern and Josh Allen. I do not think that that's something we really need to be concerned about yet. I think that that's just those two getting on the same page. I think that it's realistic to expect a little bit of a step back from what Morse was to what McGovern ultimately can be at center. But I also think McGovern has a lot of potential and a lot of upside that the Bills are betting on.
Matt Bove. All right, so receiver. We have waited a long time to get there, and now we're here. Was yesterday Tyrell Shavers Day? Because it seemed like I got everybody talking about him. He's definitely moved up the depth chart. He's no longer just a name. Like, there are four or five receivers at the bottom of the chart that are just names, and they pop every once in a while. Shavers, depending on what the numbers are of how many receivers they carry, it really sounds like he's got a really solid chance to make this roster. McDermott talked about him, how consistent he is, and I got Dawkins talking about him. So when you look at the receiver room, How many locks do you have? How many will they carry? And do you think Shavers is the favorite to unseat somebody we might have thought was going to make it?
Yes, I think he is. I think right now Shavers would be the sixth guy who makes the team, even though we haven't played a preseason game yet. So let's see what these guys can do in the preseason. But I think that on Monday, the momentum really started because he was getting snaps with the first team offense with Josh Allen. And there was a play where Josh rolled out to his side and Shavers was cutting across the middle, made a really nice catch, gets the first down. Like, those situations, it speaks a lot to just him being on the field with Josh Allen, but then also Josh throwing him the ball and him making a play is not nothing. So then it goes, oh, okay, maybe we need to talk a little bit more about Tyrell Shavers. And then they follow it up on Tuesday with another day where Tyrell Shavers actually made a couple plays. The guys who I think are locks, the four of them, are Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Matt Collins. I think those four guys are definitely on the team. A week ago, when we opened camp, I would have said MVS is also a lock. I still think he makes the team, but I'm not at a point where I think it's a lock. I just think that he's been doing a little bit more with the second team. He hasn't flashed as much as maybe we thought. Maybe that's a skill set thing, because his skill set is just like, hey, stretch the field, go down the field. And they haven't worked on that a ton yet at training camp. So I still think he makes the team, but I don't think it's a lock. And then of the sixth player, I think it would be Shavers, more so than Chase Claypool, who has been injured, more so than KJ Hamler, who hasn't had an exceptional start to camp, hasn't had a bad start, just hasn't had the same momentum as Shavers. And Justin Shorter, I haven't even really noticed besides the first day. So I think of all of the other guys, Shavers has risen to the top.
How much of Shavers here is his size? I think he might be, if he's not the tallest, he is the tallest?
I don't know if he's the tallest.
Okay.
6'4". So yeah. Matt Collins is big, Chase Claypool is big, but Shavers is 6'4".
Right.
He has certainly got size.
Yeah, because thinking about him, and you just mentioned Hamler, Hamler is such a different body type and type of player. Like, I do wonder, like, for what they want to do on offense, how tough would it be for a guy like KJ Hamler, even if he was having a tremendous camp? Maybe that would be enough, but to unseat a bigger body, because it does feel like that's what the Bills are going for with their whole room.
So the sixth receiver will need to do something special teams. If KJ Hamler is going to make the team, he needs to prove that he can probably be their returner, like their main return guy. And right now there's a couple different players that they are kind of figuring out who that's going to be. I still have no idea who it's going to be. Shorter brings the size offensively, but also brings the size from a special teams role. He was like a special team stud at San Diego State. He blocked like a bunch of kicks because he is so big and long. So I think you're getting a special teams contribution for both of them. So I think that that factors into it, but I think you're right. I mean, like, they don't have a guy with that body type, and that's why he's working with Josh. Like, if they were thinking he was making the team because of just his special teams ability, he probably wouldn't be getting work with the first team offense, but he is. So he's definitely got a little bit of a different skill set. The other thing with Chase Claypool, because I thought Chase Claypool had the inside track at this job, the skill set is similar to Matt Collins. Different, a bigger upside, but similar. And Matt Collins is definitely making this team. So that makes me wonder, well, the Shavers have something and provide something a little bit different than Claypool does, and maybe that's why he's the one who's ascending.
Matt Bove, we'll see you out there soon again. We're back out of camp tomorrow and then a little bit next week. And also the blue and red on Friday, which is a good time.
Ooh. Absolutely.
What?
I can't believe, I can't believe it was a week ago we got to camp. That's crazy.
Yeah. What color helmet are we going to see Josh Allen in Friday, Matt?
You know what's amazing, guys? Like, I don't know if like any of my competitors are listening to this right now. Like, I had to like specifically kind of staff somebody to be on helmet watch because every year that clip goes so viral.
Yeah.
I'm almost protecting my, like, you got to protect your bases of what if they actually run out onto the field in like a real jersey or a real helmet? I don't think it happens, but you always have in the back of your head, what if? They've done the red, they've done the blue, so I don't exactly know what's left. Maybe it's like, if you're really going to do a fake helmet, maybe it's like a Zubas helmet or something.
Yep.
I don't exactly know. I will say I liked the red helmet more than the blue helmet. I thought the blue helmet when they showed that one was really ugly.
Yeah. I like the Zubas. My idea would be his helmet, the normal Bills helmet, but the logo is what he drew as a rookie for the logo instead of the actual logo. That's my idea.
Yeah, they could get real creative with it.
Matt Bovee, sports director at WKBW, co-host of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with Sal. You can find that at the Odyssey app. Thank you, sir. See you soon.
Thanks, guys.
The Giants on Hard Knocks. They had something leak. Not even really leak, I should say. It aired.
It was on Hard Knocks.
Yeah. It's not the dream, which is to see a team's draft board. It's not their draft board. But it is the draft board of all the players that got drafted in the order. And there are colors on some of the names.
Oh.
So okay. You have blue, red, purple, pink, gray, and then you have some names that are struck through. Like, is that guy not on their board? Did they take a guy off their board for a concern? So to try and look at this, there's a lot of different things this could be.
Yeah.
All the speculation is there. Now you're grouping them in together. Like, all right, were the purple the guys with character concerns? Because purple includes Jermaine Burton, Alabama.
He was the first name I was going to ask you about if he was crossed off.
He's
in purple?
He's in purple. Also in purple for that, like Javon Baker taken by the Patriots. Also in purple is the Ravens' first round pick. Then you've got blue. Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Joe Alt are all blue. Neighbors, who they took, does not have a color code on him. Odunze is blue. Brock Bowers is blue. So what do you gain from? You don't quite know. I've got pink on some players. I've got Jalen Polk. Maybe that's not struck through their name. Oh, sorry. That's a break in the monitor. That's not a strike through. Never mind. Take it back.
Interesting. I'd have my guesses. Like, blue, I would think, is like their prime targets because Harrison is a perfect prospect. And isn't Drake May the one everyone thinks they wanted at quarterback?
Okay, but the problem with that is if that were the case, why wouldn't they have taken Odunze over Neighbors? They took Neighbors, who wasn't blue, Odunze they had.
But you said
blue.
Neighbors didn't have anything?
No mark.
But there are other players with no mark?
Oh, yeah. Most of them don't have any color.
Okay.
Most don't have any color. May, Harrison, Alt are all blue. Odunze blue. Bowers blue. Adonai Mitchell is red, along with Ladd McConkey, along with Cooper DeJean, along with Jonathan Brooks. A guy they took, Tyler Newbin, is blue. I wonder if two of these colors could be this player was overdrafted or underdrafted based on our board, right?
Yeah.
They have May, Harrison, and Alt all going 3, 4, 5 in blue. Do they have May number 1 and Harrison number 2 and Alt number 4? So they're blue because they were underdrafted. They should have been going higher.
Yeah.
The speculation is, well, it's going hot and heavy here. You get the Giants board and the color coding of some players. Some guesses. Warren Sharp guessed blue is leadership, teammate, person. Red is medical concerns. Purple is character. Pink is undersized or measurement concerns.
Okay. Does that line up with who was in pink? I'm guessing Warren would assume who was in pink.
I'm trying to think of a name that's in pink.
Like is who was an undersized
guy? The first pink name is in the third round, the 90th pick.
Oh.
Arizona's third round pick. So, it's interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if the Giants are upset that got out.
Elijah Jones, third round pick, drafted to Arizona, is the first player in pink.
I wonder if the Giants would be annoyed that this got out, not for us speculating about what they mean, but do we think Brandon Bean knows what they mean? And he sees it and goes, "Hey, well, what do you even care? Like, oh, what's Keon Coleman? Does he have a?
He does not have a collar.
He doesn't have a collar.
If he did, we'd want to know about it.
All right. But if like some like oh, remember the Colts GM how defensive he was of Adonai Mitchell?
Yeah.
Like, does he know what red means? And he's like, oh, those disrespecting our guy.
Here you go.
They probably wouldn't care.
Cole Bishop is in blue.
Cole Bishop is in blue.
Mm-hmm.
Could it mean big? Size stuff? It could mean anything.
Could mean anything.
Could mean that they eat mustard on their sandwiches.
Could mean purple. Could mean their parents are annoying. Could be anything.
Right.
You do have
yeah,
that. Like Jaden Daniels had a little bit of, at least that was the report, that there were concerns about, and that whatever. Character assassination time of year, that's done. But now we're looking back at this and looking at all these colors. Anyway, 803-0550. All right, I got an idea for you.
An Olympic idea?
I want to start a campaign for a new Olympic event in a sport that exists.
Okay.
And Los Angeles is the perfect Olympics to debut it. Let's go. A sport we all know and love. A new tournament.
All right.
To crown the best. You tell me if it's stupid when we get back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, I'm convinced, folks. That's pretty much the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
McDavid becomes available this offseason. He says, I'm done. Put together a trade package.
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is.
On WGR.
That's the dumbest thing you could have said.
Sports Radio 550.
I got a Let's Get Stupid for you. You decide how stupid this is.
Okay, I'm excited.
Josh, you ready?
I've got a sport also that I would really like to see in the Olympics. I do not think... This is the same one, though, the way you're setting it up.
No, this sport is in the Olympics.
The sport that you're about to talk about is in the Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking up, by the way, now the defunct winter sports, or Olympic sports. They used to have the tug of war.
They should bring that back.
Yeah, let's do that.
Tug of war sounds awesome in the Olympics.
Here's the idea.
Okay.
I'm not the first one to have this idea. I'm sure it's been lobbied, studied, whatever. Let's do one-on-one basketball.
Ooh, one-on-one basketball.
Let's go.
Did you think of this the other day when we were watching one-on-ones at training camp?
No, I
thought that to me was the most entertaining part of training camp so far.
I thought of it watching the 3-on-3 and thinking, you know, people, basketball's a sport you can play 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5.
Yeah.
1-on-1.
1-on-1
international
basketball.
Game. Imagine for a moment that today,
yeah,
you've got, I don't even know, want to go with the right names here, because, but it's,
you've got Giannis against LeBron.
Yes.
Those are the right
semifinal.
Names.
Giannis against LeBron.
Yeah. Would it be those, and then you have Jokic against Embiid.
What?
Wouldn't they be playing on like their 5-on-5 teams? Like, because the 3v3 guys though are like not on. The
I've got tennis players playing singles and doubles.
That's true. That's very true.
I've got runners doing three events. I've got swimmers doing relays and singles.
Yep.
1-on-1.
I mean, Jason Tatum's not even playing for Team USA.
There you go.
Just take him.
Make your choice.
Have him do it.
I'm not going to play in the 5-on-5 team because I'm going for the gold.
Wow.
1-on-1 basketball.
Yeah. This is good.
How
I really like
incredible
this.
Would it be?
I really like this.
Let's get it in the next Olympics.
1-on-1 basketball.
LeBron can't still be playing, can he? Maybe.
He is still the best player out
there. Giannis LeBron, 1-on-1 at noon today.
Oh, it would be.
Let's go.
It would be awesome. Would it be entertaining, though?
Sure.
The hype would be like, oh, man, 1-on-1, the names. But the game itself,
how appealing would it be?
Would it be a good watch? You'd have a lot of stopping and starting as opposed to regular basketball, right?
Yep.
It'd depend on the rules. I think you'd have to make
call your
the
own
rules.
Fouls.
Ooh.
For the goal.
Call
gold.
Your own fouls. Yes. Now, this does not belong in Let's Get Stupid to me.
Too good of an idea?
This is a good idea. I mean, 3-on-3 in there. How much worse is 1-on-1 than 3-on-3?
3-on-3 is half court. You're checking it past the three-point line. You know,
yeah.
It's just half court basketball.
Yeah.
1-on-1's probably not that appealing. Josh is probably right. That's what's stopping this. What's LeBron doing? Step back, you know, dribble, step back.
Well, LeBron can do.
Hit one from the elbow and then do that 10 times and that's game.
Yeah.
Put a requirement that you have to dunk 5 times.
You'd want the right matchups, too, because, like, you don't want Serbia. Who are you sending out? Oh, well, Jokic. USA, who are you sending out? We're going to put Steph Curry out there.
Curry wouldn't make the Olympic. He wouldn't make it.
He wouldn't make it?
He can't defend. He can't defend anybody in one-on-one.
But if he's going against one of these big guys, they can't defend him, and he's getting the 2 points.
He'd get knocked out. He wouldn't make the qualifiers. That kind of game, he couldn't do it.
If it's not make it, take it, wouldn't he beat Jokic?
No.
Because he can just shoot. He can just run around and shoot twos. His shot counts more.
That's right.
So he doesn't have to stop Jokic one time, and he'll win that match if he just hits enough threes.
He definitely needs, if it's make it, take it, you got to stop him once.
Well, that's why I said if it's not make it, take it, but we're assuming it would be make it, take it.
I have no idea. Now it is Let's Get Stupid.
Yeah, now we've...
We've immediately discovered why they don't do it.
You could have strategy behind it. It's like you have a group of guys and you have to use them all once at least.
Like a scramble.
Yeah, like a scramble. Exactly.
Why? What sport do you want to see in the Olympics?
Dodgeball. Why is dodgeball not in the Olympics? They have handball in the Olympics. It's
all
the same ball.
In handball. Handball goalies have a 35% save percentage.
But dodgeball. Dodgeball would be an energy. Listen, this is all TV. They want to make the money with the TV, right? You telling me they wouldn't get better ratings for dodgeball than they would for, again, something like handball, for instance? Dodgeball to me is the one. That needs to be in the Olympics. What about slam ball? Is that too gimmicky?
Yeah, I'll pass.
The trampoline dunking game that they're bringing back, I guess.
In 1904, they did the plunge for distance, underwater swimming. The distance you can swim underwater, like the torpedo would have killed this thing. Yeah, how long can you swim underwater?
Okay, I thought you were saying how far down could you go while holding your breath and get back up, but that seems like that might be dangerous.
Yeah,
to do that.
Used to have. A site here with all the defunct events. Used to have the 60-meter dash.
Okay.
Used to have standing high jump.
Did you know breaking is only at this Olympics?
It's not going to...
It's a one-time thing.
I did not know that.
It's a one-time thing. They're getting rid of it. I don't know why.
There used to be a two-handed javelin event.
Okay. Okay. What, they would throw it like a soccer ball, kind of? Like in a soccer throw?
Good question.
There used to be penny farthing racing.
What's that?
What does
that
mean?
Big bikes with the big wheel on the front and the little wheel on the back.
Is that right?
Yeah. I saw a video of it from the 1928 Olympics.
What's that bike called?
The penny farthing.
Penny farthing.
Yeah. It's got the big wheel on the front. You got to get way up on the seat. And they just race around like a track, like track and field. But like kind of what they do with bikes in these races or in these Olympics. But, you know, obviously bigger.
There used to be art competitions at the Olympics.
Okay. That's not sports.
Nope.
You have to That's run not an athletic while you're competition. Painting.
Paint running.
Apparently also, I didn't even know this, because I've been so, you know, I knew golf is back and flag football is coming to the Olympics in 2028. Baseball is also coming back.
Okay.
To the Olympics. Cricket is coming to the Olympics. And also lacrosse.
Lacrosse used to be in the Olympics.
Yeah, 1908. First time since 1908. All right, so we got some new sports coming next time that are pretty popular. Give me dodgeball, though.
What are you going to vote out?
Oh, one's got to leave?
Yeah.
One
in, one out.
Speed walking.
Race walking?
Yeah, race walking. What are we doing? Just run. Like, oh, I did this. It's a weird sport for me. Speed walking. Also one that you never see on TV.
How about this horse that's like walking on air right now?
Is this, what is this on TV? It's equestrian right now? Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the horse is floating through the air right now.
I don't know if this is a good performance from dressage, but it's impressive. Equestrian dressage.
Wait, if we have equestrian, we've already involved horses. Why do we not have horse racing in the Olympics? Isn't there an Olympic
There's
derby?
No people.
There's no Olympic derby?
There is people, actually. Sorry. I was thinking about the horses just running by themselves.
Olympic derby. Huh.
Why not?
Yeah.
What's stopping us? They're out here right now for this. Equestrian. We are involving horses.
All right, well,
give me an Olympic derby. Give me who just won the Kentucky Derby. I don't remember the name of the horse. Why wasn't Mind That Bird allowed to race in the Olympics?
All right, you have a mission to involve a different animal. What's the next animal? Horses are in the Olympics. What's the next animal that should be up?
A dog show.
Dock dogs at the Olympics. Let's do it.
Ooh, yeah.
Summer Olympic dock dogs.
Yeah. Don't you need... Well, I guess, no, a person is involved.
Yeah.
You need a person involved with the animal, or else it just become the Animal Olympics.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, going to join us at the top of the hour.
I want to ask you a question that Mike Shope asked me yesterday about the Bills and coaches. Did you hear them talking about this yesterday?
Yes. Was it the worst coach they lost to?
The worst coach they've lost to. Not named Urban Meyer. It might be too much for trivia. I have the full list of all the coaches Sean McDermott has lost to, including all of the ones he's lost to more than once. I got that for you when we come back.
All right.
All right, I've got the full list of coaches that Sean McDermott has lost to in 7 years.
Yeah.
If we all can agree universally that Urban Meyer is the most embarrassing coach they've lost to.
Okay.
Mike Shope asked me this yesterday. Who's second?
All right, you want my...
Second maybe for everyone, and second maybe for drives you nuts, because I had an answer for that.
Well, and I heard them having this conversation yesterday. I had a knee-jerk reaction answer that...
Okay.
You, frankly, you're not going to talk me out of.
Okay.
Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone.
That was the Doug Marrone. On a play where Doug Marrone decided to go for a fourth down. The only touchdown scored in a playoff game.
Is that when they scored that touchdown on a
fourth down?
To Kovac? Whatever the guy's name was.
Ben Kovac. Is that it?
Ben Kovac sounds right. I never get it right.
It might not be Ben.
It's some variation of that, though.
It's not Ben.
He went for it on fourth down?
Yeah, it's fourth down.
Man.
Joe Kovac. Is that it? I'll find it.
Yeah. That's a also.
It was Ben Koyak.
Ben Koyak. Yeah,
fourth down, touchdown, playoff game against the Bills. Yeah. Again, whatever. It's a playoff game.
It's a playoff game where nobody really cared if they lost, right? Isn't that kind of ease the sting of it? Nobody cared if they lost.
Yeah.
It kind of hurt in the moment when they did, but I mean, no one was mad.
Marone went to the AFC Championship game that year. I mean, Mike
Marone went to the AFC Championship game and had the lead in the fourth quarter at Foxborough.
Mike Tomlin lost to that guy, too. And so did almost Belichick. I was just, you know, just my bitterness about Marone, really. Other than that, worst.
Tomlin is my answer.
He's a good coach.
Yeah, he's the worst. He's the worst.
He's a good coach. They lost to Adam Gase, right?
They've lost to Adam Gase twice. He's on the list of coaches they've lost to more than once with McDermott. Freddie Kitchens is another very good answer to this.
Okay.
They lost to him in Cleveland.
That's pretty good.
They lost to Cliff Kingsbury. The Hail Murray.
Yeah.
They lost
The Hail Kingsbury.
Okay. They lost to Matt Nagy.
That's tough.
And then coaches they've lost to twice or more. They lost to Belichick 8 times. Would you have guessed it was that many?
Respectable.
Andy Reid 4, of course. Who's third? In-division coach. Who beat the Bills 3 times under Sean McDermott? Todd Bowles is on this list. Robert Saleh, Doug Peterson, Mike Vrabel. There's another. Is he a former Bills coach? Anthony Lynn has beaten the Bills twice with Sean McDermott.
Both as an interim coach. No?
No. Both Chargers. Both as Chargers coach.
That's right.
One of them is the Peterman game.
Right.
And then I believe this is correct. The coach with the best point differential, even though he only did it in 2 games.
Against McDermott.
I'm not all the way through on this, but I think he has the best point differential against Sean McDermott.
It's going to be... Oh, come on. Who's...
Oh, no. This is not right. I mixed this up. I had Frank Reich.
Yeah.
But he's not the Eagles coach in the first one. I think he's the offensive coordinator.
Okay.
So not Frank Reich. Never mind.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. When we return, we're watching BMX freestyle. Some sick jumps.
Sick jumps.
I mean, it's cool.
It is sick jumps.
It's cool.
Yeah. Gold medal alert. I like that on Gold Zone. If there's a gold medal approaching, then they go right to it.
That's what that means. We're going to go to a gold medal, winning a gold?
Someone, like we're about to medal. Or someone has an opportunity to medal. So they go to it.
And do they always get the gold medal? Or is it a performance for a gold? Kind of like Red Zone. All right.
They're on the 5. Let's go to it.
All right. Yeah. One more vault. This will be for the gold if they score a blunt.
Yes.
Know. All right.
Yep.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. When we return, Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.